Good morning, everyone. As I keep trying to do, bring you up to date with Interregnum, you all know, I hope, that Profile has now gone to the Eastern Baptist Association. What happens next, you say? What happens next is that sometime in September, usually near the end of September, there's a national meeting of team leaders of all the different regions of the Baptist Union of Great Britain meet. And at that meeting, they have wedding ceremonies, as I used to call them, where they get a church that's vacant or in interregnum, a new church that's just become, a church that's just become vacant, and the team leader presents it. So you will be presented nationally to the team leaders of Baptist Union. And maybe when you're sitting there, one of the team leaders might think, I know of James or Sheila, no discrimination, you know, James or Sheila, and maybe that church in Holland and Sea would be good for them. That is the process. It does do that, I think, twice, I think it does. There'll be another meeting in just about December where that will happen again, and then it goes on to a website that Holland and Sea Baptist Church are seeking a minister, and we wait. And waiting's never easy, isn't it? No, it. Waiting is never easy. So then we wait, and someone might contact Alison for further details of the church. And when we get a contact, the word that's usually strongly used, and it's very difficult in church, is the word confidentiality. We must keep it confidential. If someone that's applying to us to be their minister, we must keep that very confidential. Now, why? Remember when you were working and you went for a new job and you didn't tell your boss you were going for a new boss job in case life became difficult? Remember that? Sadly, and I do say sadly, that happens in churches. Sometimes when churches get wind of the fact that a pastor wants to leave, life can become difficult for that pastor. So it does become a bit more confidential. Let's pray. And we pray for guidance, Lord, for the team leaders as they meet late in September next month, and guidance for people who will listen. We pray, Father God, that you would guide the church here to its new minister. And we pray for the new minister, whoever he or she might be, that they might have that unease of spirit until they are settled here. Bless us, God, our Father, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen. Let's pray. Bold we approach. We approach your throne of grace, God our Father, boldly. Not because of anything we've done or who we are, but we boldly approach your throne of grace through the blood of Christ. And we thank you that as we boldly approach through the name of Jesus Christ, our Saviour, that we are accepted. God our Father, forgive us that we've offended you, that we've done what we want and not what you want, that we've gone where we want to go, not where you want us to go. Forgive us, God our Father, that we've not loved you the way we ought to love you, not loved one another the way we ought to love one another. Forgive us, we pray. Thank you for your lovely promise that if we confess our sin, you are faithful and just and will forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, Lord, we thank you you're here. Bless us, we pray. When we ask you to bless us, give us nothing but your best. We're all individuals this morning, different needs, different requirements, different situations in life. Meet with us, Lord, at our place of meeting. We ask in the name of Christ our Saviour. Amen. Luke chapter 19, a very well-known story for which I make no apologies. Luke chapter 19. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to Zacchaeus, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He's going to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Lord, look, here I am now. I give half of everything I possess to the poor. If I've cheated anyone, 4 times back the amount." "Today, salvation has come to this house," Jesus said, "because this man is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." Praise his name. When I come to prepare a service, notice that word, I don't just prepare a sermon, I like to prepare the service. Sometimes people say to me, "I don't know what to pray about." Have you ever had that problem? "I don't know how to pray," some people say to me, so I always encourage them to do something. Get a piece of paper and write down your prayers. Just write it down. And then prayer. In actual fact, I think even in the process of writing down the prayer, you're praying it without even opening your mouth. So this morning, I've taken my own advice. It's good to take your own advice sometimes, not always, but this morning I take my own advice. I'm going to read to you a prayer. Now, I'm not going to read to you a prayer, I'm going to pray with you, because it's a prayer of all of us together that I've written. Let's pray. God of justice and compassion, we cry out to you for the people of Gaza, particularly for the children of Gaza. We pray for a rapid, no-holds-bar ceasefire. God, our Father, we thank you that some aid has been delivered to the Gaza Strip. Remove all obstacles, we pray. May the aid increase, we ask you. God of justice, we pray. We pray for powerful men in powerful positions. We pray for Donald Trump, Keir Hardie, Benjamin Netanyahu. We pray for our own Prime Minister. God our Father, we pray for the United Nations, for the leaders of the world, powerful people in powerful positions. We pray that they might not just seek their own good or their own good of their own country, but they might seek the good of all people. We pray that the leaders of the world might not give in to their selfish ambitions. Living Lord, we pray. We pray for peace. Lord, grant us peace. Lord Jesus, you are the Prince of Peace, the true King of Peace. Free our world from all conflict and wrongful ambition. We pray for peace, especially as we think that recently we marked the 80th anniversary of the dropping of the first nuclear bomb. And in this last weekend, we've looked at and remembered the 80th anniversary of the end of the war in Japan. God, our Father, we bring to you the needs of our broken world, the need and the desperate need in Gaza and other parts of the world, food needed so desperately in the Sudan. Living God, our Father, we pray for our government, our members of parliament, Grant to them the guidance of your Spirit. May they seek your way. May their decisions be guided by righteousness and a desire for the common good. We pray for Christians who work in Parliament, that their influence would be felt in all the deliberations. Father God, we pray for ourselves, for our responsibilities as citizens of this country. We pray that we might lobby, write, email, and seek justice for all in our nation. Help us to seek the best for our community, to serve and uplift our community. Help us, Lord, as Christians, to help and support our local authorities and police in their work. For the world, our nation, for our community, we pray. Thank you, God, our Father, that you love the world, that you've not abandoned it, that you are still involved in this world. Thank you, God, our Father, that you loved it so much that Jesus Christ died for it. Help us to spread that good news abroad, we pray, and to spread the good news of the gospel of peace for men and women, we ask. In the name of Jesus, our Saviour. Amen. May the words of my lips and the praise of all our hearts be accepted in your sight, O God, our Heavenly Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen. I'm going to sing to you. Oh, I thought you'd all run out. Well, I was tempted, if I must tell you, to start by singing. But I decided that that might be the shortest sermon you've ever heard. Because you'd just all, wouldn't you? When I was a wee boy, I used to go to Bible Club. And we sang a song. I can't remember it all. This is one of the reasons I can't sing it. But it started like this. Zacchaeus was a very little man. And a very little, do you remember it? And the very little man was seen. I can't remember the rest of it. I can't remember the rest of it. Come on out, come on out, come on, come on, come on. The two of you, come on. We want to hear it, don't we? But I just couldn't remember all the words of it. But Zacchaeus was a very little man, and a very little man was he. And I make no apology for looking at this lovely story. Zacchaeus. He worked as a tax collector. Hands up all those who love Her Majesty's revenue and customs. Nobody put their hands up, I noticed. But he worked as a tax collector. And his work made him a very, very wealthy man. And also a very, very unpopular man. Like tax collectors at the time of Jesus, he worked for the Roman occupation. He worked for the conquerors. No wonder he was not popular. People thought that the tax collectors were collaborators and would pass on things to the Romans if you were up to no good. So he was not popular at all. And on top of that, of course, they were downright cheats. Let's get it the word. Properly, they were just downright cheats. If you owed £10, they wanted to charge you £13, and they'd give the £10 to the Romans and keep the £3 to themselves. They were just cheats. There's just no other way to describe them. That was Zacchaeus. There's no doubt that Zacchaeus, when we read this story, had heard something about Jesus. No doubt at all. He had heard something about Jesus. It had probably about the miracles that Jesus had performed. Zacchaeus had heard about the way that Jesus treated people like him. Outcasts. He'd even heard stories about Jesus dealing with people who were the real outcasts. The lepers. But Zacchaeus had this big desire. Listen to it. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. That was his desire. He wanted to see Jesus. He was, if you want to put it this way, vertically challenged. He was small. My wife and I often go to the supermarket. And my wife has a problem when she goes to the supermarket, and some of you ladies have this problem too. You can't get to the top shelf. Husbands come in handy sometimes, you know. Sometimes husbands come in handy, but you can't get to the top shelf. And Zacchaeus was vertically challenged. He had this problem. He wanted to see Jesus, but because of the crowd. If today we heard that the king was coming, we'd have all been out in the main road at probably 7 this morning to make sure we got a good view, didn't we? Because the crowds would be colossal. And he heard that Jesus was coming, but he couldn't see. That made me think for a moment. I wonder, what obstacles do we put in front of Jesus? Are we putting obstacles in so that people can't see Jesus? Is the Church of Jesus Christ, because of its attitudes and its thinking, because of its remoteness from society, putting obstacles so that people can't see Jesus? Is the Church of Jesus Christ stopping people from seeing Jesus? That's challenging. That's challenging, but even more challenging. Am I putting obstacles in front of Jesus? Am I a barrier so that people can't see Jesus? In my attitudes, my thinking, the way I live, are these attitudes, barriers, stopping people from seeing Jesus? That's a big challenge, and we should face it face on. Do we get in the way of people seeing Jesus? Does the Church of Jesus Christ knowingly, and I sometimes think knowingly, by the way, create barriers for people seeing Jesus? Colossal challenge there. And I think we have to face that one and examine it very carefully. Are we stopping them by our attitudes, our thinking, by our thoughts that you have to be dressed to come to church? Well, I hope you don't come naked, but you don't have to have your best clothes on all the time to come to church. Are we thinking to people, the way you live, you wouldn't be welcome? You know, in our first church in Fife, where I ministered, I had to take a funeral. But that comes with the job as ministers. I got a phone call from an undertaker asking if I'd take this funeral. They never came to church. That happens to us as well as ministers. And I went to see the lady's daughter. I should tell you, Rosyth was famous for the fact that it's a navy port with lots and lots of sailors. And I was very involved with sailors during my ministry there. But Mary, the lady's daughter, to put it gently, entertained sailors to more than tea. You know what I'm saying, she was a local prostitute. And I had to go and see her. And after a while, I saw Mary, we conducted the funeral, and at the crematorium she said to me, "How much do I owe you?" Which is something else that happens to ministers sometimes. And I said to her, "Well, if you've got money to give some to the church, why don't you come on Sunday and bring the money with you and put it into the church?" And I must tell you, I had no faith. I never thought for a moment that Mary would come to church on Sunday. Guess what happened on Sunday night? Mary came to the church. Mary was dressed the way she would ply her trade to the sailors. Not so much as what she had on, but what she didn't have on, shall we say. But I'm thrilled to tell you one thing, and I'm disgusted to tell you another. Nobody in the church went near her to speak to her. There's a barrier. But I'm thrilled to tell you that I married a lovely little lady who did go and speak to her and spoke to Mary. Wonder if Mary came in here this morning, how would we treat her? I hope you'd welcome her. Are we putting barriers in the way by our attitudes, by our lifestyle? Telling people that they're not wanted just by ignoring them? What barriers are you and I creating either individually or as a church that stop people from seeing Jesus? But Zacchaeus had a solution. He ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see Jesus. Jesus was coming this way. Quite a long time since I climbed a tree. You're not surprised at that, I hope. In our last Scottish church, we had a big, big tree in our garden. And I'd been out doing pastoral visiting, I had my clerical shirt on, and I came in the gate, and I heard this little voice saying, "Daddy!" It was our daughter. Our daughter had climbed to the tree. I said, "Oh, hello, Pat, you okay out there?" She said, "Yes, Dad, I'm fine." I said, "Good." I said, "You sure you're okay?" She didn't sound very okay to me. "Dad, I don't know how to get down," because you know what Dad did then, don't you? Dad went up the tree. The daughter climbed in the back and Dad came down the tree. We should have known then something about our daughter. She was going to be a PE teacher. We should have known that at that moment, shouldn't we have known? But here is a man going out of his way. Actual fact, we really want to be honest about it, putting himself in some danger to see Jesus. He's making the effort to see Jesus. What much of an effort are you and I making to meet Jesus today? Just part of a week, Sunday? Care group, just another part of the week? Do we come expectantly, wanting to meet and see Jesus? Zacchaeus had the problem, and that problem that had to be solved. And I think there's a subtle reminder here, actually, a very subtle reminder that God is still in control, that no matter what God will have his way in the lives of men. God wanted to do something in this man's life, and God will have his way. God is still in control. He wanted to see Jesus. It teaches us that when we make an effect and an effort, when we put ourselves out, that God will meet with us. And we will meet with Jesus. Make an effort this week to meet Jesus again. So he was rewarded. Remember the story? Jesus looked up, Zacchaeus, come down. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. Jesus, on the way to Calvary, on the way to die, could stop for this man. He could stop for this man. This vertically challenged man. Jesus took time out to seek for this sinful man. This was a man that Jesus cared for and loved. Come down. And that's what we have to do sometimes, don't we? We have to pretend that we don't know it all. Sometimes we have to get off our high horses. Sometimes we have to come down the ladder or down the tree and get down on our knees and say to Jesus, I come back. Jesus was looking for this man and found him and was interested in the man. Remember the old hymn? Let me quote to you the old hymn. Jesus is seeking the wanderer yet. Why do they roam? Love only waits to forgive and forget. Home, weary wanderer, home, wonderful love dwells in the heart of the Father above. I think there's something fabulous about this story. Jesus goes home with Zacchaeus. So I'm going to ask you to do something this morning. Very easy, very simple. forget everything Robert's ever said. I'll not be offended. I'll not be hurt. There's one thing I want you to do. Take Jesus home. Take Jesus home today. Don't take the hymns home. Don't take what I've said home, but do take Jesus home. Isn't it lovely that Jesus went to this man's home? I had the great joy of marrying into a lovely Christian family. I was very fond of my mother-in-law and my father-in-law, very, very close to them. Above their mantelpiece, there was a cardboard plaque about that size. This is what it said. Christ is the head of this house, the unseen guest at every meal, the silent listener to every conversation. Take Jesus home today. His presence will make a difference to your house, to your family. His presence will be wonderful. Jesus goes home with Zacchaeus, and you know something? He'll not mind it's untidy. In my first church, I remember doing a pastoral visit. There was a lady called Alice who lived along the road from us. And Alice was one of our church members, and I went to visit her. And I went in, and after a little while, I smelt something burning. And I said to Alice, "Alice, just before I came in here, were you smoking?" And she said, "Yes," because of the rush, because the minister was coming, you know. She'd stuck the light cigarette behind a cushion. Yeah. I decided not to make any comment. Take Jesus home, because he'll not mind about the mess, the untidiness, or the lack of dusting. It's not important to him. But take Jesus home. This whole incident had an effect on Zacchaeus. Listen to this. All the people saw this. Look what they did. They began to mutter. Yap, 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 yap. Look at that Jesus one. He's gone to that man's house. Goodness gracious me. Isn't that dreadful? The gossip mongers were rampant, muttering away and criticizing Jesus. He'd gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus changed. I give half of my possessions to the poor. If I've cheated anyone out of anything, I will pay back four times. Zacchaeus is saying more than sorry here. It's good to say sorry, but Zacchaeus is saying much more than that. You see, repentance is not just saying sorry to God. Sorry, God, that I did this, and sorry, God, that I did that. But repentance is much more than this. Repentance is a very costly thing. It's honestly facing our sin and our wrongdoing and trying to make restitution. Because that's what he's doing here. He's trying to make restitution. I'll give half of everything to the poor. If I've cheated anyone out of anything, I'll pay him back four times the amount. I wonder how rich he was after that. Not very. See, repentance is facing our sin, asking for forgiveness for our sin, and then doing that, turning back and walking away from it. That's what Zacchaeus does in this story. Today, salvation has come to this house. This man is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. Here was Jesus doing what he came to do. Jesus came to seek and to save that was lost, and you and I were lost. We were lost. Coming over today, we saw a lady. She had a pram. And walking beside her was a dog. And I've got a dog, and my wife will tell you that if I had to choose between my wife and my dog, my wife will tell you there's no competition. but I thought to myself, when did we start having dog prams? And I can understand that the dog's got arthritis and old and all the rest of it. But we started to think then about Janet's dad, because Janet's dad was a shepherd. He was a crofter. He had sheep, and he had Sparky. One of the dogs I remember was Sparky in particular. And Sparky was a brilliant sheepdog. He would go in and he would round them all up and he would bring them back. And he was brilliant, absolutely brilliant sheepdog. Sparky was doing what he was born to do, and here's Jesus doing what he was born to do. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Thanks be to God. He's doing it still. Seeking and saving the people who are lost. And let's not be soft about the word lost. I was at a minister's meeting this week, a retired minister's meeting, and know what we were discussing? Heaven and hell. Fabulous subjects. Really interesting stuff. When do we ever hear about people being lost? It's gone out of popularity, hasn't it? The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Zacchaeus. Just as Abraham believed God, he was the son of Abraham. Just as Abraham believed God, so did Zacchaeus trust in Christ. This man, from a rogue, a cheat, to a child of God. From being corrupt to being accepted through repentance. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Thanks be to God, that's what's happened to me. Let's pray. Lord, help us to be concerned, to seek and to save that which was lost. We thank you for the activities of this church, reaching out into the community in different ways to fulfill your mission to seek people who don't know you so that they come to know you and they get saved by your death. Bless that ministry, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.